Hello, everybody. Welcome to Rums of Baghdad. It's a two-person podcast again. It's our new two-person podcast. It's a new format. Nobody's done it before. We're very excited to bring it to you.
The innovation is called a solo bolo. That's what it's called.
A solo bolo.
Yeah.
Fair. Mary's here. Hello.
Hi. I'm not.
It's episode 199. Excited about it? Excited about 200 coming up?
No.
Okay, good. Getting old now, Mary. Good God.
I know.
Getting old. 200 podcasts. What are we going to do? We're going to end it after that? I think we're ending it after that, right?
No.
Okay. I'll keep going. As long as you guys want to keep going. That's all. As long as you guys want to keep going. And Spider-Man is here getting pet. And we're doing pretty all right. How's your cats doing? How's Heath?
He's
Oscar?
Fine. Heath and Oscar and Lily are all on the bench in front of the window in the study, like right here. You can see Heath's tail.
I can see a tail.
Yeah, that's Heath.
Tail.
Yeah. They're hanging out. Good.
Cool. Well, we're here, Mary, in a sort of half true spoiler cast. I didn't change the fucking title of this thing to something else, did I? God damn it. Okay, hold on. Yeah, you got the trash man in control here, so that, you know, blame me. It's 198. I apologize again.
Are you gonna change the topics too?
God, I mean, welcome to the show. welcome. We're still welcoming you.
It's still through very... the whole show. Yeah,
all the
we're
show.
Always welcome.
What the hell's password?
I don't know. You got you and Jake are always the ones like streaming it. So
liking in. We got it. We got it. Gosh darn it. 199. Whoop. So this is a half spoiler cast, half a Burning Tire Fire, apparently. Where we talk about some Final Fantasy.
I don't know
VII.
About the percentages on that. You might want to up the Burning
okay,
Tire
so
Fire
like,
portion.
Okay. It's about 94% Burning Tire. No, wait. We got to make it perfect, right? 92%, 93% Burning Tire Fire. 7% Final Fantasy VII. Of course.
Okay.
Get it? Like 7 seconds. Yet 7 seconds. It's good. It's always. Mary, we'll get into it right now. Massive spoiler time, folks. If you're listening. Hi, but also,
I guess if you haven't finished Final Fantasy VII and you plan on doing so in the near future and you don't want to be spoiled, I would say skip ahead like 10 minutes max, I would guess.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, I don't have much else to say that other people haven't said.
So what'd you think now that you actually beat it? Yeah.
That was fucking long. Like we were talking last time, you were like, well, I don't know, maybe like 5 hours. I was like, come on, Mary. How long can the building be? And fuck, I mean, part of it too is I got stuck at Rufus and Darkstar for
a
while.
Okay, yeah.
Because I couldn't, I didn't understand the reload thing. I wasn't seeing the reload. Like I was doing well. Then I get that reload part and I was just not seeing it. I was just not like, what the fuck am I supposed to do?
You gotta jam on that attack button as soon as the reload thing pops up and Cloud will just float over there like he's in Two Human or something. It's ridiculous, but yeah.
It's like, yeah, I mean, and then it kind of pushes the limits of that combat system. Like, I like that combat system a lot. Like, the lock on and, like, quick moving through stuff. It feels a little like they could use just a little tinkering.
Some battles it really leans on the RPG-ness, and some battles they kind of lean too hard on the action. Basically, if you're fighting, like, a person, it's going to be an action boss battle.
Yeah, it's like, on the one hand, I like it quite a bit, but it just needs... Well, it needs a better targeting system, right? But then it also, I feel like they have that... Like, you got a slot in materia for certain things. Like, certain enemies are weak against fire, or lightning, or wind. And I feel like sometimes it's like, oh, yeah, I got it right. I can do lots of damage. But then other times it's like, well, I guess I don't really have to change because I can just kind of slug through this and use more heals and eventually just get to the same result. Now, I know that's different probably in hard mode, but it felt more, I don't know. It'd be nice if they gave you like a quick swap to a different loadout or something like that. Or
some that would other be nice, of... yeah, if you could have different loadouts. Or if you could just change your materia like in battle, that wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah. Or you just make it like a spell even in the spell slot where it's like, you click on it and it opens a sub-menu that says, change your materia to fire or ice or lightning or wind or something.
Yeah, like if it took up a materia slot that let you change your materia, that would be pretty good.
It's like the assess materia. I mean, the assess materia is mandatory in my mind.
Yeah, it is.
You could just add that as a thing. Like, I don't know if you need a materia for assess. Like, kind of, but like everybody used it also all the time, so... Already was taking up a slot, so why not?
Well, anyway. At least he only needed on one character, so.
Okay, everybody, hold on. I gotta post a link to this in our general chat in our Discord.
A link to what?
The podcast. There you go. Oh, hold on, everybody. Okay. We're back. We're back. I had to go out. I had to go in. You saw Discord screens and people's names and things flashing. So it took 1 second. We're here. We're good. So we'll start. Where the heck do we start, Mary?
Well, you want to talk about the ending, right?
Okay. Yes. I think the best thing they... I don't know.
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Have you ever played the original Final Fantasy VII?
Yes. That's
okay,
a good place
you have.
To start.
Okay.
Yes.
Because...
I played that, I played Crisis Core, I played Dirge of Cerberus.
Okay, so you know what, like, the backstory is and what differences
generally,
they showed.
I mean, it's been years.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's been a while, so it's like, who? I didn't know specifics. Like, I was, the one thing I looked up throughout the game was, wait, how did we get to Walmart in the original, what was that?
Walmart? Or...
Yeah, Walmart.
Okay.
Walmart, sorry. I call it Walmart, it's... I apologize. I think it's funny to call it Walmart.
I mean, it's pretty trashy.
They're both a hive of scum and villainy. I mean, truly.
You could do a People of Walmart pretty easily.
Yep.
I would check out that blog.
Sure. And like, I didn't remember, like, okay, how did Tifa get there? Wasn't there a date thing going on? Like, certain moments in that early, like, Midgar stuff, like, how do we get from there to there? Like, I know they changed certain bits, but, like...
The date is at the Golden Saucer later on.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's right. Okay, I was like, that's what I was so confused, guys. I was like, wait a minute. When did the date happen? I thought the date happened in Walmart, but no, it happens in the Golden Saucer. There you go. So, certain things blended.
Well, they kind of do that with this remake, depending on the choices you do. Like, there's a scene where I think Cloud wakes up at Aerith's house when he's staying over there.
Right.
He goes and talks to somebody in the flower garden, and that person will change depending on answers you've done throughout the game. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Who'd you get?
I got Aerith, yeah.
Me too. I didn't think... Okay, so there's that part in the sewers... Where you fall down and you can either... I think that's the whole thing that made that decision was whether or not you went over to Tifa or Aerith that were laying on the ground.
No,
the
there's first a few time, more. There's more well, than just that one.
But it felt like for me, that was a deciding thing, even though it was like the first time around, I woke up Tifa, but then I died during that boss fight and it re-puts you right in front of that choice. And I was like, just hammering on the triangle button and I woke up with... I mean, Aerith woke up that time and I feel like it fucked me on that one. When I was like, I would have picked Tifa the way. I never saw those scenes. I didn't see the Barret one or the Tifa one.
I haven't either. Yeah.
The Aerith one leans pretty heavily on some ideas about what the ending is, right?
Like, yes, yeah.
That she knows more than she's letting on, right? We can agree.
Or Cloud maybe knows more than he's letting on. Like, if this is his dream and that's his, like, his... not waking thoughts or whatever, like his consciousness that doesn't surface most of the time. That could kind of make sense. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe it's fucking Sephiroth doing everything, because it's hard to tell after
Fuck,
that ending.
Man. I mean, I get what they're doing, right? Like, they just want to be, want to tell a new story.
It was very meta. Yeah. It's like the whispers, no, you must follow what happened exactly in the original game. Da 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 da. Like, that's op. And you eliminate the whispers. Now they can do whatever they want. It was basically the gist of the ending. Yeah.
I would just like to say your cat got super excited about Final Fantasy VII and just sprinted full speed. Knowing there's a window right there, I'm worried they just like crashed right through the window, like some kind of
Looney Tunes
cartoon.
No, that's just their favorite
cartoon place
to hang out. Like, we built a little fancy bench over here. You kind of see it, not really, but
I got my cat a hammock, so he sits next to me as a little hammock.
That sounds nice.
My grandma laughed at it today when she came to visit. What the fuck do you have there, fucking sitting with a cat all day?
Did she swear that much too?
Yeah, she's a sailor. I don't know.
Okay,
if you know.
Your grandma's cool.
Okay. Oh, she's not. She's not. She doesn't swear like that. She's a very. She likes crafts. If that gives you an idea of the kind of grandma she is, she's a craft person. So she definitely not swear. She get unless she drinks, and then maybe she'd let off a swear then, but not right now. Not appropriate. Much like Final Fantasy VII isn't appropriate for anyone.
They swear a lot in that game. Yeah. I was kind of surprised, but
I was shocked. Fan.
They didn't say the F word,
like,
at least, but
it's some of the best swearing in video games. Like, a lot of times swearing in video games comes off as being like, I gotta be macho tough. I think of like Gears and stuff like that, where it's like, I gotta be like, but a lot of time it's like swearing that feels good. Like it's a swear that makes sense. It's a swear in universe, you know?
They're appropriate swears, yeah.
Kinda likes to play crap.
Sometimes Cloud needs to be called a punk ass bitch. And,
of course.
Yeah.
And Soldier Boy. I mean, clearly.
Yes.
Although, there's so many pictures of Cloud dressed up like Soldier Boy if you search that. Don't do that. So there's so many pictures of that. It's a lot.
Don't worry, I won't. I'm just hoping if they ever get to Cid, he's probably the one that's going to say the F word. He's going to be dropping F-bombs
all over the place.
Yeah.
Man, Cid, right. I forgot that character.
Yeah.
What are they going to do with Cid? Cid's the one character I look at and think, you know, he's kind of the odd man out. Like, he doesn't... Like, Yuffie, like, I think the stuff they did, particularly with, like, almost like 9/11 truther stuff, tying the Wutai into, like, to the Avalanche and tying, like, it's really tied. Like, that's actually some really good, like,
lore.
Whoever scripted that or did that kind of stuff or did some of that background, nice job, because that's, like, a nice tie. Where in the beginning, in the original, they don't really talk much about Wutai at all.
I mean, they do later on, but it's not,
Yeah.
It's like Shinra wants to go to war with Wutai again, and you're like, okay.
But the Wutai were behind the Avalanche bombings. It's like, oh wow, okay. That's some like nice post 9/11 like writing there. I was actually surprised. Nice job, Nomura, out there waking, getting people woke. Sheeple, wake up, sheeple. So Nomura's out there. Tell people.
It was an inside job. The Mako reactors, yeah.
The Mako reactors. Mako doesn't get hot enough to melt steel beams, Mary. The grassy knoll, Mary! Put it all together. President Shinra was killed by a second shooter. That shooter was Cloud.
So what did you think about, speaking of the Shinra Tower, the stuff with Barrett? Did that blow your mind? Because it did for me. I was like, what? That's not supposed to happen. Wow.
Stabbing him.
Didn't really happen.
Didn't happen.
But
that would have actually been very exciting in a way if they had went all the way with it, because I would have been like, okay, you're going to tell a story here, huh? You're going to swing.
It got interesting. Like with the Genova fight, and I found that fight very fun. It reminded me of like raid bosses in Dragalia Lost for some reason.
Okay.
It's dumb. I liked how you had to like figure out what you needed to do to make the boss vulnerable, and it was
kind of kill those tentacles.
I mean, it's not that crazy, but
no.
It was a
that was some
fun
of the best
challenge.
Stuff.
Yeah.
like when they match you up team wise with like people you don't, like Tifa, Aerith, in the whatever the experiment room or whatever, where you have to like split the two groups in some interesting ways where it doesn't feel all quite right. That was good stuff. I liked that a lot. They had a good idea of like, let's give certain sections to these people or that people. You gotta play Barret now and shoot these fucking boxes on a wall.
Yeah, that part wasn't the best. I don't know.
The shooting didn't feel right. I was hoping it was just going to turn into a first-person shooter. You just have one gun.
You wanted it to be Dirge of Cerberus, yep. But with Barret.
Yes!
Now.
Yes. So what I wanted. I would have played that game. That would be an excellent
Well, I do game. Like Barret a lot more now, so maybe I would play that game too, but no.
Barret's pretty real in this game, Mary.
I feel like he was more of a joke in the original game. Like, he was kind of a dumbass.
Not the same thing.
But he had a real character, and he was sympathetic. And the only time he was annoying is when he would do the victory fanfare over and over again. I don't know. Whatever.
So let's get to the actual...
Yeah.
Let's get to the actual ending, Mary.
Okay.
What the fuck are they doing, though? Do you trust Nomura and that team to do what they're going to try to do with this? Like, I feel like...
Well, he's not the only one doing everything. Like, the original director of the game is the executive producer. I don't think he would let them go, like, totally stupid with it. But then...
Okay.
Dirge of Cerberus exists. Like, Cerberus, I don't know. I really Advent enjoyed Advent
Children
that.
Is a mess.
I mean, Advent Children was just...
It's a fuck mess.
I hope that the ending means that Advent Children is going to happen now. Like, it's... okay. Like, the timeline split. Like, the whole Zelda timeline bullshit. Like, that's what it feels like to me. Like, now they Same. Have an opportunity to do other stuff. Which I'm fine with. Like... After playing this first game, I want to see what the next game would be. And it's hard to tell, like, how many games they would make now, because they're not really beholden to what exactly happened in the first game anymore. Like, that was the whole point of the boss fight and them going into that portal and Aerith going, like, this is going to be total freedom now. Are you ready? And it was like you're basically telling the player, like, hey, we're going to do other shit now. Yep. Is that okay with you?
Is that
like,
okay? If you...
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I've seen a lot of people be like, well, that's not what I signed up for. It's supposed to be a remake. I want to see the original game, da-da-da-da-da. But, eh.
I see it either way. Like, there's a certain part of me just wants a up-res version of Final Fantasy VII. With, like, pretty textures and stuff. Not blocky. But then, I also look at that and go, you know, is that really what we want? That ending of Final Fantasy, the original ending is, it's not good. Like, it gets a little messy towards the end. I mean, I like the whole kind of, like, sad ending of, like, actually, everybody dies at the end of Final Fantasy VII. A meteor hits the planet and kills everybody. Right? I mean... I don't even know how Advent Children happens.
Well, I mean, Red 13, I guess.
He lives. He's fine.
Yeah, and he has babies, so that's something.
What if Red 13 was the one that came back and he knows stuff? That'd be neat.
He actually did act like he was, I forget which segment it was exactly, but it was when you were in the Shinra lab, he had some kind of knowledge about, like, he knew about the whispers and stuff, and... I'm wondering what exactly that was about. Like, if they go... I don't know. I don't really want them to go into more detail about how characters seem to have prior knowledge of the original game's events. Because I don't think that part is interesting, really. Like,
play it coy. Right?
I don't... You yeah, don't I don't need some, like, Sephiroth was... Sephiroth is doing all this stuff behind the scenes, and he did such and such to make the world, like, he time traveled or whatever, like, all the fan theories I see out there are now. Like, I just want them to resolve what's going on and not necessarily feel like they need to totally explain everything.
Right. It's a little, I don't know. I worry it's, I mean, I get it's from a video game perspective. You want to give like a big boss fight and some big revelation right at the end, mainly because this is like a single
And they had
thing.
You fight Sephiroth just totally for fan service reasons. Yep. They were like, okay, here you go. You're not supposed to fight him right now, but why not? Everybody loves One Winged Angel, sure. So here
Everybody
you go.
Everybody loves. It's a good fight. I mean, it's a good
it
fight
neat.
At the end.
Yeah,
there.
It
it's
was
very
cool.
Fun. I have no idea where they're going. I have no idea. I mean, the only thing I can think is, I mean, is Zach alive? Okay, we'll answer each
yes,
of these questions
yeah,
first.
He
Zach
is now.
Alive. You think Zach's alive?
Yes. Okay. Like, whatever they did fighting Fate and, like, those three versions of Fate, like, it apparently, like, stuff changed even in the past, technically, I guess. So, yeah, who knows what all is going to happen now, it seems like.
I think my prediction is that you don't see Zack until the end of the second game, which is the death of Aerith, right?
And well, instead she's not going to die now, right?
What do you think? Tell me what you think.
I don't think they will. I don't even know if they'll have any character die, or maybe
I think it's Cloud.
Yeah,
I think it's Cloud.
They could kill Cloud and then have Zack take over and. It would be an interesting kind of role reversal where Zack feels like he has a debt to Cloud instead of the other way around. That could be pretty cool. I don't know. That's why I want to see the new games, because I'm interested in what they've come up with so far. And I would like to play more. I would like to know more.
So... Wait, is Jesse alive? What are we thinking on?
I don't know. It's quite possible. Like, I don't think Wedge is alive anymore, because it seems like
he got thrown out of the tower by
the Whispers. Yeah. But then it showed Biggs being alive, and Wedge wasn't supposed to make it that far anyway either, so who knows? Like, I'm not taking anything for granted for anyone being alive or dead, basically. Like, I'll see when they show them.
So the one interesting theory I read that I liked a lot is that Jesse's actually working for Wutai as a member of Avalanche. She's like an inside operative. Because she gives you the Ifrit materia, which is a really strong materia early on, and like, bunch of weapons and stuff, and she worked at the Golden Saucer. I just feel like she might be like a secret agent, double agent.
I can see that happening, yeah. And that would kind of explain, like, why she wants to get so close to Cloud. Like, maybe it's not she's just totally thirsty. Like, maybe it's because she knows about the whole Shinra stuff and Zack and everything else. Like, it's possible. They kind of did that with Reeves and Kate Sith. I know that's not how you say it. I don't want to look up. No.
Kate Sith.
Oh. I'm talking about like the Irish actual pronunciation. It's like Ketsi or something, but
Kat Sith. It's Kat Sith. God damn it. Kate Sith. It's Kate Sith. Yeah. So Reeves, I forgot that he was Kate Sith. The man behind the machine.
Ketchy is how you're supposed to say it. Yeah.
No. just no. Yeah. Then that would be a nice way to introduce, like, then you have Jesse and you show up in, like, Wutai Village or whatever, and then you can get Yuffie, right? And, like, it's
well,
dramatized
you get
and the
her
Yuffie
before
stuff.
Then in the forest. Because I've been playing the original Final Fantasy VII as well, so.
That would be such a good twist, is like, okay, you're going back to the Wutai Village with Yuffie at some point, and then, like, you walk in, and there's Jesse, and, like, it'd be really good. Shocking! Reveals, Mary, that's all this is. No, it's all...
Well, I mean, they can do whatever now, thanks to that ending, so I wouldn't be that surprised.
But also, maybe just kill Aerith anyway. Maybe it's just, maybe the only thing that's different this time is that
I actually like her now, though. I don't want her to die. I didn't care in the original game, but...
She's got really, like, a lot of personality in this one. Gives Cloud a lot of shit all the time, and it's really good.
That whole high five bit was very good, yeah.
Yep. Somebody said, I forget who it was, like, Donkey, I think? One of those, like, YouTube viewers said, like, the dialogue was really bad. I was like, what? The dialogue's pretty good. Especially, like, Aerith's stuff is, like, well voice acted, and whoever actually wrote the script seems like they're pretty good at writing dialogue, so.
Like, it's a little cheesy, but
sure.
I like that it doesn't take itself, like, there are points where it takes itself seriously, but it never gets, like, Kingdom Hearts dumb, in my opinion. I don't know.
True. Maybe we're just heading towards Advent Children, Mary. What if that's just the ending?
That would be really disappointing, because Advent Children was lame.
Terrible. Terrible movie.
It was just, like, ugh. Bad storytelling in general. Yep. I didn't like everybody's new goth outfits either.
Like, you didn't like Barrett's new gun that had four other guns on the outside or like rotating around it? It's pretty anime, Mary. I don't know. Pretty anime.
They did, when you were fighting Sephiroth, they did reuse a lot of that Advent Children style fight imagery, which was probably the only good part of that movie, so it served its purpose.
It was pretty good. He has succeeded, Nomura finally succeeded in making a game that plays like Advent Children. I mean, he finally did it.
Well, at least you weren't doing, like, quick time sequence things during that. It was actually just cutscenes, which I prefer.
True.
We probably talked about this more than 10 minutes now. I don't know.
I apologize, folks. That'll be it for Final Fantasy VII talk. I have no idea where this is going. I don't know. I've heard a lot of theories. There's a lot of things people have said. Is he from the future? Is Aerith from the future? Is Cloud from the future? We never know. This game might
all
never come out.
All this stuff about time travel and different dimensions, and I don't think it really matters. I think that was all just a storytelling device to let fans know, like, hey, we're going to do something different now. If you're either cool with that or you're not. And that was basically it. Like, if you participate, you now have to be cool with this, basically.
Yep. There's nothing you could do. We get all the choice. You don't get a choice in this. We're doing this. And like, okay. Make your own bed, my man. Nomura, go out there. Don't blow up your career, my man. Don't do it. Speaking of blowing up careers, Mary, let me talk to you about blowing up careers of Gears and Gears Tactics. Everybody loves Gears Tactics.
I mean, I've been playing it too. It's okay. I like it. I enjoy it. It's fine. I'm not that far into it, I guess, because I got that new video card and I've just been like loading up a lot of stuff. Like, Assassin's Creed Odyssey looks super good now. It's amazing. I can run Abduction on my VR, whereas with my 970, it couldn't do it at all. So I haven't played a ton of Gears Tactics yet. How far are you? What did you think?
I'm not probably as far as you are. It's all right. It seems good.
I'm like on the second mission or whatever.
I might be as far as you, okay. It's fine. Like, I've never been I'm more interested in the same week that XCOM.
Chimera Squad
came out.
My little brother is playing that right now, and he likes it a lot.
Yes, I know I misspelled Gears Tactics and called it Gear Tic Tacs, but we're going to go with that. Thank you for correcting me, one person. yes, it's very funny. Thank you. Chimera Squad just looks more interesting to me. Like, Gears Tactics feels fine. I like Overwatch and a bunch of those like tiny creepy grub dudes that run at you and you need to like mow them down. I like that a lot. Feels good. Feels clean. But it also like I end up going, all right. Yep, that's more of that kind of game. That's more XCOM kind of stuff. And I'm not super invested in the Gears world anymore. I feel very disconnected from it, so it doesn't really have that kind of stuff that I want. Gotta give me something I'm interested in. Where is this going? We gonna watch this man with a queen of the locusts at some point? Isn't that the whole story? Isn't that his daughter?
I noticed on the benchmark there's locusts that'll yell for the queen, like when they take their move. Okay. Because I watched the benchmark like 10 times, fucking around with settings before and after my new video card. So that's the most I've seen of Gears Tactics.
Okay.
Really?
That's fair. Yeah, like, I don't know. I just like, what's the story of Gears Tactics going to be? Like, it's just.
Here's a group of cog soldiers and
adversity.
There's a lotus bad guy and you fight him. The end. That's what it seems like so far.
Yeah. But isn't that the dad of the
locust,
the girl?
Lotus, whatever.
The lotus.
Warframe.
Man, the lotus are out here, huh? The lotus.
That would be way more interesting.
That would be dope. I would play that game. They could probably make a Warframe tactics game.
That'd be pretty neat. Good. It would work very well. They have all the different damage types.
Could make like a StarCraft kind of thing too, like a city build, like not like a city builder, but like a StarCraft. What do you call a StarCraft? Like an RTS?
RTS, yeah.
What genre of RTS? Anyway.
Yeah, Clem like would Warframe. Be a hero unit.
Yeah.
You have to keep Clem alive during the mission. If he dies, you get a game over.
Okay. Yeah, it could fucking make a really good tactics game, and I like where that's going. Like, you start off with, like, a basic Warframe, and then you can get your character and upgrade him to, like, neat Warframes, where it's, like...
Prime, yeah.
Prime versions, or different versions with different abilities.
Because, Gears Tactics has, like, a skill tree, and you pick from different passives and active skills, and that part I am finding interesting. And the overall game is pretty fun, too. It's just, so far, it's not very difficult, or, I don't know, like, it's just a game that I will play when I'm sitting on my computer farting around, basically.
Sure.
Like, I'm not paying 200% attention to it.
It's my podcast game. I listen to a
kind
podcast.
Kind of, yeah. Like, I could see that.
Like, yeah, I'm going to do a mission now. Here's some story. All right, I'm going to start the podcast. I'm going to Alt-Tab and just start this podcast while they're talking in the story thing, because it's another Gears mission.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah, so far.
Hammer of Dawn. They dropped that word in like the first 10 seconds. Hammer of Dawn. Talking about some grub. Chainsaws. Grinders. Whatever locos, tacos from Taco Bell.
I think like the main character Diaz is like related to this politician guy that keeps showing up and bossing you around.
Okay.
That's the only like character conflict I've seen so far. But I don't know, I might even be wrong.
Who knows? I like it. It's decent. Gears Tic Tacs. Available now in the Xbox Game Pass.
I'm glad it's free. It's pretty fun. I like it. Like, I sound way shittier than I mean to. Like, it's a neat game. The graphics are nice.
Yeah.
Like, it plays fine. I don't know. There's nothing, like,
good one of those.
Outstanding about it, I guess.
It's a good one of those. It's clean. It does everything well.
I need to play more of it, really.
Yeah, me too. Really. I need to play more. But also, there's so many games. Maybe I won't.
Yeah, there are. Finally. There's a lot of new games.
My Gamefly is still going, and they gave me a free upgrade to 2 games.
Oh,
count
wow.
Them. Free up. I get 2 games. So I'm renting the game that you're playing, Mary, Soccer Wars.
Oh, have you received it yet?
Okay. I have not received it yet, no. And also Pokemon Shield. I figured, you know, or maybe I was thinking like... Luigi's Mansion, or maybe Super Mario, but I kind of was like, you know, got the free game. Let's go with Pokemon. Collect some Pokemon.
It won't take you very long to like get your fill of that either. It's probably a good Gamefly game.
So tell me about Sakura Wars. Sakura Taisen, please.
Well, the Japanese title is Shin Sakura Taisen, which people have been officially translating as New Sakura Wars. Which kind of makes sense because it's been a long time since there's been a Sakura Wars game. The last one released on the PS2, so that ought to
long
tell
time
you.
Ago.
Yeah.
Time has passed, sure.
Yes, okay, and time has passed in the setting of the game as well. It's been, I think it's like set in 1940 in Japan.
Okay.
During, it's like a historical fiction kind of Japan, like World War One or World War Two isn't happening. It's more like steampunk fake Taisho era. So okay, the clothes and everything, it looks more 30s than 40s. But yeah, it's been 10 years since, the original, like, main characters of the first game have basically shut down due to peace. And in that intervening time, the Shanghai operation, taken over protecting Tokyo. And so you start the game and you're this military dude who gets transferred to the theater. And you're like, okay, I'm going to head the Imperial Combat Review. Like, they're pretty famous. But you get there, and it's a real shit show. Like, they don't have any money left. They only have three mechs, and basically two of them aren't working.
Oh, boy.
Their plays are terrible. They hosted a play. Like, it was a fucking disaster. There was barely any people there. So basically, as this new captain, you are tasked with getting them all into line and making them a success again.
Okay.
And one of the original characters from the first game, Sumire, is now in charge of the theater. And she basically tells you, like, hey, this international, like, World Combat Games is coming up. They are going to disband the Tokyo unit. Unless we impress
unless
the
dance
higher
battle?
Ups. We gotta save
the community center.
Yes, exactly. Okay. That they picked that as the plot because it's actually a lot of fun. We have to win the Olympics to save the Tokyo theater. So it's it's exactly the Olympics. Like, it's an international competition. It's held every 2 years.
Okay.
And I think it's a neat premise for, like, bringing back the whole Sakura Wars, like, fiction. The only thing that I kind of don't like is that it's not a strategy RPG anymore. Like, all the previous games have basically played, like, Gears Tactics. But now it's more of a Dynasty Warriors, like, hack and slash kind of thing.
Is there a lot of gameplay? I feel like I've heard it's more of like a visual novel, really, at the end of the day. It's like,
not really like a visual novel. It's more of an adventure game because you're walking around maps and you have like a choice of what characters and stuff to talk to and when to talk to them. There are missable events. Like, it's not just straight up dialogue. But there are, like, I wouldn't say there's less combat scenes. It basically follows the same format as the previous Sakura War games, where they're presented, like, in chapter formats, almost like anime episodes, because they will even have, like, when you beat a chapter, it'll be, like, next time on Sakura Wars, and it'll give you a little preview and everything.
Oh, okay.
And basically, you have a chunk of story stuff, that usually takes like 2 to 3 hours, probably closer to 2 hours, just going through all that. Then you have a combat section, usually culminating in a boss. And then after that, it's time for the next chapter. Like, they just basically go with that format. Okay. And it seems like fairly faithful to the old games. The main difference, I would say the original game would be much more visual novel based because going and exploring areas was kind of more menu based.
Okay.
In the game previous to this, you actually would walk around maps. But this one is even more full on with the 3D models. Like, even during dialogue cutscenes where there's no voice acting, you still have the character models like acting everything out. Whereas in the previous game, it was just like a static character portrait, like going opening their mouth, like Fire Emblem or something. Which makes it kind of weird when those segments don't have voice acting, because you can tell they're, like, mo-capped actors, like, emoting whatever their line is, and their mouth is opening, but there's no actual dialogue, so it looks kind of weird.
Okay. Is that... What's the reason for that, if I may ask? Like, is it...
I don't know.
Is it quarantine-based? Like, I know somebody was saying... Game was saying that they were... Destiny, I think it was. Whatever the new one game was. No, Guild Wars, I think.
Yeah.
Guild Wars 2 was doing, like, we're not going to have voice actors for this until we can record and
see or whatever. This US version wasn't dubbed at all. Like, it's still the original Japanese voice acting. It's basically like a subtitled game. And it has the same amount of voice acting as the Japanese release. And this came out in Japan, like, in December. Of last year.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's just a choice they did, I guess. It's a choice.
Interesting. Okay. Well, interesting. I think it looks cool. I'm going to try it out when I get it, just to see what the hell's going on with it.
It's pretty neat. It carries forward a lot of the old Sakura Wars, like, gameplay elements of, like, time-based dialogue choices.
Right.
And different dialogue choices will either raise or lower a character's opinion of you. And there are, like, different endings, depending on which character likes you the most. The one thing that I have not noticed from the older games is that in the older games, there would be these segments where basically it's just, like, a big picture of a character. And you could focus in on, like, different parts of the image. So you could, like... And depending on which part of the image you went on, the icon might change. So it would be, like, a different adventure game thing that would happen. So, like, if you zoomed in on a character's boobs, like, there would be a blushing face.
Skinship, and Mary? Are we talking about skinship
you wouldn't
over
actually,
here?
Most of the time, you wouldn't actually touch them. It would just be the character going, like, wow, look at her boobs, or whatever. Like,
oh, God.
Oh, boy. And so far that has not been in the game at all.
Good. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's more like, oh, you notice, something a character is wearing and they'll tell you about that and how that ties into their backstory or whatever. Like, it's not all for perv purposes. but there are a few.
But some of it.
I have noticed, like, one thing that happens. Okay. There's another kind of, like, timer-based thing where you can choose how much emphasis you put on, like, a choice. And usually that means, like, yelling something or, like, barely muttering something. But there was one point where I went into the dressing room and Sakura showed up, main dude hid. And he was like, should I take a peek? And you could, like, raise or lower, and it would be how much he, like, stood up to get a look at her. So that was the only...
All the way, come on, man.
But you might get caught, and then she would hate you. Like, I don't know. I like that part of the game. Like, it hasn't been too pervy or anything, at least, thank God. And nothing weird with, like... I don't know, younger characters either. So,
okay, good.
Thank God.
Yeah, that's always good. Just make sure that doesn't happen.
They haven't done that in the past few games. Like, I don't know. It's just, no Sakura Wars, no. But yeah, overall, I'm really enjoying it. I like that the main character, the main girl, is named Sakura, and she really looks up to the original Sakura. Sakura Shinjuji, who actually saved her as a kid, and she wants to be like Sakura. She wants to save the community center and make the Tokyo Imperial Theater great again, or whatever. It's a fun story so far. Like, even the different character designs of, like, this game had a gimmick in Japan where they hired a bunch of famous different character designers to do different characters, including, like, different countries. Like, the Shanghai Review is designed by a different person. They're designed by the designer who did, like, K-On! Yeah, and, like, the main designer is the guy who drew Bleach, And so far,
I don't know if that's a good thing, but all right.
Yeah. So far, those character designs, they don't necessarily like super blend together, but they're not like terrible sticky outy either. Like they all look fine. They're all interesting.
Cool.
Like the Haruhi character designer actually designed a couple of characters too, and one of them is basically like a copy of Haruhi, and she's pretty cool.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
So yeah, I want to hear your opinions when you try
It's in the mail at some point. I'll get it. You know.
But yeah, I'm not super far into it.
Good.
It's a game that normally you're supposed to replay, get every character's different ending, blah blah blah. And now I need to learn.
How long do you think it is?
I've heard it's about 20 hours for like a playthrough.
Wow.
It depends. I guess you could waste a lot of time playing Koi Koi as well, which is a version of Hanafuda.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I played that in Yakuza 0.
Yes, yeah. So maybe you'll know how to play it better than I do.
Nope. Not all those dark games. I didn't know I knew how to do. It's such a hard thing.
I played it in real life once because you remember like the Nintendo Club rewards stuff where they used to send out like physical rewards?
Sure.
And one of my friends got a Nintendo Hanafuda card set and he's like, let's play it. And I'm like, okay. And apparently he knows all how to play Hanafuda now and I fucking don't. And I still don't. So it's kind of like Go Fish, I guess is what.
Oh, okay.
It's like a combo of Go Fish and poker. I don't know. It's weird.
Poker fish. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. It's confusing. I have a guide for how to play it, and I still am not any good. I'll link it here because he might need it too.
Oh, God. Mahjong. Do I have to learn how to play Mahjong? That was the hardest thing in the world in Yakuza 0.
I think Mahjong. This is the only like real mini game in it. But yeah, it's fucking hard.
Well, while you do that, I can mention quickly, Plague Tale is a game I'm Plague Tale of Innocence. A Plague Tale. Rats, the game.
It's on Bad Game Rats. Pass, right?
It's on Game Pass.
I might play that to test out my check new it out. Video card.
Yeah, it'd be very
fancy.
Pretty.
Yeah.
You can watch these rats eat fucking people alive. It's real good. The rats really eating this game real good. A lot of chewing. A lot of rats eating people.
Is it gross?
It's pretty gross. Yeah, it's a pretty dark game. If you think this game is like happy-go-lucky, this is like real bad. A lot of people die. Like a lot of people die in the first few minutes of that game. There's a nice dog that gets killed. Rats eat a dog.
Yeah.
Good pupper. Don't get attached to that dog if you play this game. I'm sorry for spoilers. Let me put spoilers. Hold on. Spoilers again.
Wait. Wow.
Bad Rat. Spoilers. Bad Rats. The Plague Tale. That's the title we're going for this discussion of Plague Tale. It's good. I mean, you play as a young lady who's from a noble household. Her family falls apart. She's got a little brother. She's on the run. There's rats. The countryside seems to be infected with a plague of some kind, magical or not. And she's got to kind of try to survive and make it to somewhere safe. Put through the ringer. I think there's probably like comparisons to something like, I don't know, not really saving Private Ryan, but like, you know, those kind of war movies where it's just like a constant onslaught of different kind of settings of like, this is an awful situation. This is an awful situation. That just kind of on and on. She's getting hunted by the Inquisition. So it's also that kind of game too, where it's like religion and magic and religion and alchemy and medicine and lots of themes. It's fine. I'm enjoying it well enough. I've had it sitting in my games library and the Game Pass stuff for a while, so I figured I'd finally knock it out. There's not really much. It actually is kind of a visual novel to a certain extent. There really isn't much gameplay. Like, nothing that would challenge you, really. just kind of.
Is it just like puzzles, like adventure game type puzzles? Okay.
There's a fight where you have to just kind of space dodge roll every once in a while, and then use a slingshot and knock armor off a guy. That's about like the most gameplay kind of thing.
Wait, how does that work? How does a slingshot knock armor off people? Mary.
He has big brass rings that hold his armor on, Mary. And, of course, this little girl with like a slingshot would hit these big, shining, glowing, golden circles on this person to knock them off slowly. It's a lot of that. She has a slingshot, so she's hitting things. And fire and light keeps the rats away, so you kind of play with that kind of puzzle stuff, too. Like, okay,
so how do we get it? So, like, you use a slingshot to cut a rope, and that, like, pulls a curtain thing open on a window or whatever.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Or she, she makes a Molotov cocktail out of some, like, stuff and throws it at a fire pit or whatever, and that lights up a fire pit, and then you shoot a rope and it swings a big chandelier back and forth so you can run to the fire and then run out of the room, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Grabbing torches and stuff like that, too. All the while, you have a whiny child who is apparently infected with an evil magical spell running behind you. So if you enjoy that...
Not really. I don't know. Escort stuff.
But it's also like a cute kid. Like he's sick all the time. Like he's not like a bad, like it's not annoying in that way. It's like, oh God, you shouldn't see us feed this pig to these rats, little boy. Turn your head. Oh God, little boy. No.
Okay. As long as he's not like annoying mechanically, that's fine.
No. There's also parts where you can, like, it's interesting. I only run into one of these so far. It was like there was a soldier on the one side of the room and rats, and I had a torch. When you walk towards rats, they kind of move backwards. So you can either, like, you can force all the rats into the guy and the guy will get eaten by rats. Or you, like, the achievement is, like, you stop, you place it in an embrasure behind you, and you have to light up another torch on the side of the room with a Molotov cocktail kind of thing. And you can save the guard guy from the rats. I don't know how much of that kind of, like, make a choice. Are you going to think about saving these people? Are you a monster? Are you going to kill all these people with these rats? So that kind of stuff too. A little bit of moral choice. A little bit of that kind of thing. But also not really much moral choice. It's a dark, dark, grim, dark future.
Okay. Well, past, right?
It's past.
Okay. Yeah, it's not.
You never know.
It's not like on a spaceship or whatever, right?
Welcome to 2020, the coronavirus year. Next thing with coronavirus is going to be rats. The rat virus. It's coming.
It's more like it's the Black Death or whatever, like in the Dark Ages, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But then fantasy, too.
Okay. Yeah, you said magic at one point, so.
Magic.
Okay.
Yeah. Final game from you, Mary. Streets of Rage 4, Mary.
Yeah.
This came out in Game Pass. I'm looking at playing it also, but I worry that I play it as a solo person. I won't get the full experience, but you played it solo, didn't you?
I thought it was pretty dang fun. Like, it is really nice mechanically. Like, it feels good. The enemies are fun to fight. The items are fun to throw and hit dudes with. Like, the special moves are interesting. Normally, in the older Streets of Rage games, doing a special move would take away your health. But now it's kind of like Bloodborne, where it'll take a little section from your health. But if you hit an enemy again, you can regain that health. If you get hit, though, that health is gone. I think that's a fun mechanic. The boss fights are pretty darn fun. It's just, I really don't like the art style or the music. Like, really? The presentation is just, I do not care for it. Like, it plays really fun. Like, I'm enjoying it, but I just wish it was better. Like, I wish it were a better game visually. And
really?
Like, I don't really like the new character designs. I don't like the art style. Like, it looks like an Udon comic, like, and I don't like those. Like, it looks like bad Street Fighter, like, non-Japanese artists. I sound like an asshole, but I just not a fan. Like, I'm not a fan of the screen tone all over the place. Like, I just don't like the way it looks. There are a couple music tracks, like, that are okay, but a lot of them just aren't crazy enough. Like, they're not as wild as, like, the original Streets of Rage music. Like, even the songs that Yuzo Koshiro did are not, like, that great. It's kind of disappointing. Like, I like the art style that happens during the credits. It has more of, like, a watercolor type style that looks like old, nice Street Fighter II art. Like, if it looked like that all the time, I would probably like it more. Or if they even did, like, a more pixel art style, I might like that better. I don't know, but just something about the art and the character designs and even, like, some of the story, like... There's a part where they're like, we're going to use music to brainwash everyone. And I'm like, this is dumb as hell. What is this, Revolution X or something?
Just Scott Pilgrim?
Aerosmith game? I don't know. Like, I like the actual game. It plays really fun and it feels good when you're playing it. But I just don't like anything about the presentation at all, really.
I was shocked when this came out. I had no idea there was a new Streets of Rage game coming out. So I'm game for anything. I have no idea this game was anything. So I'm excited to see what it looks like.
Like, it's definitely just a personal taste thing for me.
Sure.
Like, if it was way more anime, I would be way more into it. But it's just kind of like, it looks like fan art. It looks like a fan game. Like, and not in not in a good way. Like, it plays great, but I just...
Look, just not for you. I get it, Mary. I read comic books, and I also have a strong opinion of comic book artists, so, and their style. So, yeah. Everybody has an artistic backdrop, but I also think you're wrong because this is beautiful. And I just like,
there was also one kind of funny thing in the options that I thought was amusing. There are, like, different options for foods. Like, there are food pickups that give you health in the game. I guess I should say this, people who don't know what Streets of Rage is, it's just like a beat-em-up, action beat-em-up. The original default food is just an apple for a small amount of health, and then like a roast chicken for the full health. There are vegetarian options. You can have a little plate of tofu or a big salad bowl. There's also, like, an American option where it's a piece of pizza or a hamburger. There's a Japanese option where it's, like, rice balls and ramen. There's a French option where it's, like, a croissant and a, like, I don't even know what the piece of meat is. If I were French, I would maybe know, but it's, like, a fancy piece of meat roast. There's a Canada option where it's donuts and like poutine.
Yeah. I was gonna say
Tim Hortons,
the Canadian staple.
I just thought it was really funny that they have like, I don't know, all these different country options for like food. A lot of the people that made it are actually French. I think,
but are they French Canadians?
No. I don't know. Some of them might be like, I don't know, but, yeah, I think it's a good game. I wish I were more into it than I actually am.
Hey, what can you do? You know?
I mean, I'm glad I got to play it on Game Pass. Like, I saw a lot of reviews, like, really hyping it up, talking about how it's, like, Sonic Mania and, like, a faithful update to, like, an old game. Yep. And I think it's missing a lot of the original flavor from the original games. Yeah, that's how it felt to me, at least.
I will play this and I will report what I think.
Okay. There's a lot of nice homages to like the original games. Like Rue is in there, the kangaroo, and a lot of characters and like back stuff. Like there's a lot of allusions to the older games, but
Rue the kangaroo is a great name. I just want to say, I just want to go on record right now. Rue the kangaroo. It's almost as good as that other kangaroo game I played years ago that I still love very dearly and don't talk about my kangaroo game very much. No, it's Dingo, right? Is it a dingo?
I think there's a kangaroo third person. Yeah, there's a kangaroo one and a dingo one. They're
He has a,
they're
he has
bad
a
games.
Boomerang.
Yes.
I should play. That's a stream I could do. I could play. What's that game called? Oh, God. I could play Curse of the Mummy. That's not the one.
Cow the Kangaroo. That's that PlayStation game. It's bad. And Tie the Tasmanian Tiger.
Tie the Tasmanian Tiger. That's yeah. the one. That's the one. I could play all those games. That's actually a really good idea. Thank you for that idea, Mary. You'll get credit in when I'm a mega successful streaming artist.
Okay.
You came up with the idea for me playing Tie the Tasmanian Tiger. What a great game. It's not a great game.
I bet Streets of Rage 4 is much better, but whatever.
Okay. News stories, Mary. The news. I didn't do the song.
A lot of news happened.
News. There we go. We did it again.
Thank you.
See, at least we're not doing the cow thing anymore, right? Was that weird when I was doing the cow thing years ago?
No.
The Daily Cow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Daily Cow. Today's cow. Random cow. Okay, random cow pictures.
Well, what kind of cow is it?
That's a company, though. That's Random Cow Pictures. It's like Random Cow Entertainment or something like that. They make movies. Like, it's a bovine. Random cow breed? Is that the correct one? Random list of cattle breeds. That's perfect. The American Melking Devon is a breed of cattle from the United States. Originally from the British North Devon. Cattle brought to North America in the 17th century. Significant. Modern Northern Devons have been bred using exclusively for beef production. Look at these beautiful cows. Everyone really loves these kind of cows. I'm going to link
these
the picture of this
movies cow. Look really bad. That Random Cow Pictures participated in. They look bad.
I just linked the... I apologize, folks. I apparently did not copy and paste correctly. I just posted a link to Robson Baghdad, so good thing I didn't post some kind of link to my personal credit card account or something like that, because we could have gotten a lot of trouble there. But we're
Sharon 123 looks like a quality film.
Good. Well, speaking of quality entertainment, Evo 2020 is canceled. Because of coronavirus concerns. EGX
yeah,
Res 2020.
Let me talk about the news.
Okay.
They're doing a digital event now. So it's going to be streams or something. But yeah, who cares about that, okay. Really? I mean...
There'll be streams.
That yeah. sucks.
EGX Res 2020 is canceled. Oh, God, boop. I can't click. Oh, help me. Oh, and I clicked on the wrong one. Oh, no. Oh, God. Okay. Postponed to July. It was originally postponed to July, but now it's
and
officially
now
canceled.
And now it's just gone. Yeah.
Goodbye.
I think this is also ran by the same people who do PAX, but it takes place in London. Okay. I know DJ has talked about going to one of these conventions before, one of the Res or EGX or whatever. But yeah, that sucks. Yep. Everything's getting canceled still.
Nintendo's delaying their annual E3 direct broadcast that usually takes place in June. That's happening as well.
We talked about this last week about how a lot of E3 stuff is going to be spread out now from May to like the end of summer.
Yep.
And yeah, their E3 direct is not going to happen in June at all anymore that month.
Mm-hmm. I would assume July then. That would be my guess is sometime.
Or maybe late. Even August. Like, who knows?
Could be.
It has been pushed back due to complications arising from coronavirus. So I'm not sure exactly what that means. It's possible they just don't want to commit to release dates. It's also possible that maybe trailers that they wanted to show like aren't ready to go.
Right. That's also a possibility here with some of these studios. It's got to be a challenge making games right now. Especially if you're trying to make a vertical slice or some kind of gameplay presentation. That's got to be a hot nightmare. Can't even imagine.
Working people from home sweating and in a room. Remoting in, and it's going to take longer to get stuff ready.
But speaking of getting stuff ready, somebody's got something ready, and it's coming this Thursday. It's not your doctor appointment, like you said before. It's Xbox Game Showcase on May 7th. That's what's coming Thursday, Mary. Xbox Game
Showcase. For the Series X. The new
For
console.
The Series X, yes.
That's an
hot new
part.
Game. I assume this is their big E3 thing? Am I wrong in assuming that? That this is their big, like, we're going to put it all together for you. We're going to, Phil Spencer is going to walk onto a virtual stage, point at you, and go, fucking buy this console because here's some games.
I mean, we'll see. They're saying it's a special inside Xbox stream, and normally every time they try and promote something as important happening during an inside Xbox stream, it's usually not at all, and it's boring, and I'm like, why did I waste my time watching this? But yeah, hopefully they actually show some real stuff. Because
Ubisoft has confirmed there's a trailer going to be at the event for a unnamed. Oh, it's for the first trailer for Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Oh, but it'll actually be running on the Series X now instead of just like here's a cinematic trailer, like the trailer they put out already, I'm assuming.
I would not be surprised if Ubisoft just trots that fucking trailer out again. And just, like, throws it up there. That's Ubisoft.
That's just
years of being in the industry and knowing what sometimes Ubisoft does, which is just like, here's the table scraps! Microsoft, here's this trailer we already showed.
Ubisoft has also confirmed it will be showing gameplay for Valhalla during Microsoft's event, so it won't just be that same trailer, thank God.
What do you think of that? That's another news story. They had announced Assassin's Creed Valhalla during a cinematic trailer this week. Yay!
I mean, I'll probably sign up for that Uplay Plus or whatever try it out, but I don't know. They picked a neat time period. Like, it's the same time period as Vinland Saga, where it's like the Viking Wars with England. So that could be cool. I don't know. Apparently it's not going to have leveling at all either anymore.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
How's that going to work?
I don't know. I'm interested to see what the game is actually like. I'm not like super hyped about it or whatever.
I mean, they also confirmed doing kind of a village thing, right? Like they talked a little bit about like, you'll have a village that you go and raid from and stuff like that and bring a loot back to the village. The only problem I've always had with those last two Assassin's Creed, and I haven't played Odyssey, but I hear it's similar from other people that played it, it's just like thousands of side quests, thousands of like side content stuff that is just not meaningful. Like that's the thing I want to see. I don't really care about the RPG stuff. I just want some, like either shorten the game a little bit or like remove some of that side stuff.
A big complaint with the last game, so I assume they're going to correct from that.
I saw on a forum when this was announced, somebody was saying, I played 200 hours of Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and I was like, what is wrong, man?
It's a neat game. I was playing some of it this week, too. Like, I played it for an afternoon, and I was like, huh, I wonder how this looks now. And I was doing random side quests. I found a tomb. I cleared out a fort. Like, I don't know. I still find that fun.
Sure. I would like to also say I signed up for Stadia this week.
Oh, boy.
So I can tell you all about that at next week. I can tell you about my experience checking out Stadia. I'm not impressed with it so far. Hot take. Hot initial 5 minutes playing around with it. It's my hot take. GameSpot is to hold summer digital E3 alternative and charity event. So they added the charity event part, I think. I don't think they've been talking that up. The event called Play for All will begin in June and take place across several weeks of live stream programs on GameSpot, Giant Bomb, and Metacritic channels. Hey, Giant Bomb out there, hustling.
Yeah. They are going to have publisher-led digital events, too, like the IGN Summer Gaming thing. They have secured partnerships with 2K Games, CD Projekt Red, Deep Silver, Amazon Games, Bethesda, Devolver Digital, Google Stadia, Larian Studios, Mythical Games, Bandai Namco, Perfect World Entertainment, Sega, and Square Enix.
That's a lot of studios.
Yeah, and some of them are kind of, I wouldn't say like small, but like Devolver Digital and stuff. Like, it'll be interesting to see like what they have to show.
I'm excited about it. Have you been watching much the kind of the Giant Bomb stuff lately, of the live streams and stuff that you've been doing?
Have it on in the background when I'm doing other stuff. Yep. Like cool. When I'm making broccoli salad. I did that.
Broccoli
earlier.
Salad?
Yeah.
With bacon in it? You could put bacon?
No, I don't put bacon in mine, but you can if you want. I don't know. It's bacon, a sweet salad.
Bacon and cranberry? So. Bacon and not cranberry. Raisins, right?
I put craisins in it. So
craisins.
Yes. The cranberry raisins. Sunflower seeds, some carrots, broccoli.
So between honey. This GameSpot stuff and I don't know whatever IGN's doing, what's gonna be? What's the E3? Is it? Are we getting two E3s now? Like
it's not. It's just gonna be like, here's our stuff. I hope you like going to this website because here we're gonna show some things. And other websites will report on it later. Like I think that's
we're gonna break some news.
Yeah.
Excited.
I was just gonna say Giant Bomb hasn't talked about this at all, so I'm interested to hear like what exactly they're going to do to participate other than like charity event stuff, which they've already been doing.
I miss Jeff driving to work every day. Can I say that without feeling weird?
I mean, I do too. It's fine. I understand.
He would update us on the latest. But now I feel like I'm lost in a void of video games. When is anything coming out? Where am I? It's a very strange time.
Well, I still pay attention, but yeah, that was always nice to be able to like chat with everybody. Like, oh, did y'all see this on Twitter this morning? And sometimes Jeff would chime in too. And yeah, I miss it. Why can't the world be normal again?
I know.
I want to go back.
I'm getting tired of it, all right? I'm getting tired of it, I'll be honest. Having to wear masks every time you go to the grocery store, or like...
I mean, I know that's how it is, and being crying about it isn't going to do anything, but... Mm-hmm.
But we can still cry about it.
I miss it.
I miss going to the movies, man. I'm telling you, I'm going to go, I think, drive-ins this summer. It's going to be big, so... final news story. Speaking of, why can't we go back to a world before? Naughty Dog is wishing they could go back to a world before the last couple of months. So Sony has identified key individuals responsible for the Last of Us 2 leaks, saying they were not affiliated with Sony or Naughty Dog. Boy, it's been a rough news story cycle for Naughty Dog between the incredible crunch cycles and like weird pay structures and all kinds of bonus stuff. Like, on top of that, now having their big game that's coming out, I guess got rescheduled to what, like June something? Now having it leak before release? Oof. You get spoiled, Mary? Do you know what's going to happen? What's up with that person, Joel? Joel in this game? Joel.
They showed him in that trailer, but it might have been just Ellie, like, imagining it or whatever. Like...
Okay.
I don't know. I don't really care about the story for Last of Us 2. I never beat the first game. I still have it on my PS4. Maybe I'll get back to it eventually, but I'm not in a rush.
Me either. Yeah, that was the game where I was like, okay, what could I do? I've now beaten Final Fantasy VII. Maybe I should start that game. And then I looked at I've opened up the case, looked at the disc, placed the disc back down and went over to my computer and was like, I'm going to play NCAA 14 on the RPCX or whatever. I'm going to play an emulated PlayStation 3 So, you know.
Well, it came with my PS4 when I bought Bloodborne. It was like a free digital copy. So I started it, but I never finished it. Kind of like Horizon Zero Dawn. I need to go back to
I gotta get around to that. Yeah, that's another one on my docket as well, so
it was hackers that did it. It was hackers that did it, that leaked all this
stuff. The deep web.
Yep. people originally were speculating that it was a disgruntled, like, either employee of Naughty Dog because of crunch or a contractor. Because after Sony was like, or Naughty Dog said, no, it's not a worker of Naughty Dog, they were like, well, you guys don't count the QA testers, contractors as like actual employees, so maybe we're still right. And no, it was just hackers.
I guess they had found an exploit in an old Naughty Dog game that let them access the Naughty Dog server, which is like...
That's like the old Half-Life 2 leak where somebody just got on there and took all their shit. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know anything about this. I don't know. I don't know why you would leak something like that either. Gotta get them clicks, I guess.
Well, it got delayed for basically financial reasons. Like, hey, maybe people don't want to play a game with this subject matter right now when we're dealing with kind of a real version of it. Sure. And also, it was just for, like, financial reasons, too. Like, people aren't able to buy stuff in stores quite as well as they would normally, so maybe we should bring it out later in the fall when people will be buying things again, hopefully. But yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Exciting. I'm looking at the summergamesfest.com. Not a lot of, logos, a lot of pretty colors. A lot of cool stuff happened. I'm excited for this Xbox thing. Just to give me something to fucking watch during the week. It's been like just working remote a little bit. It's been a nightmare of like, I have nothing to do outside of staring at a screen all day.
I kind of like it. I like that Gary can work from home. So we eat lunch and dinner together. We're cooking a lot more.
That's nice.
Like, we go out on two-mile walks, like, basically every day, being healthy. Like, and yeah, I'm kind of enjoying it. I just wish that we could do other stuff, too.
Sure.
Like, yeah. And I wish I could see, like, my family.
Okay, fair.
Yeah.
Fair. I mean... Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, I agree. You know, at some point we'll get back to normal as the darkness slowly approaches my own webcam.
We better fucking get back to I know everybody's like, well, we're going to have a new normal and blah, blah, blah. And I just want to be super selfish and just stuff to go back out. Like, I know it's selfish.
I don't think it's selfish. That's just normal, man. That's just like your body going like, hey, can we just go out to the movies or something? You know, that's just your brain. It wants to.
Hey, but I got an $8 kiddie pool that I can put in the backyard now. Now that it's going to be summer.
$8 kiddie pool?
Yeah.
Send me that link. Okay.
It was at our local grocery store. Okay. Like, the Amazon link for the same exact pool was $35. And Gary called me when he went to the grocery store. Like, he was like, hey, they have that pool for $8. And I was like, fucking get it. I'm going to use that this week for sure. Probably on Monday because it's going to be like 90 degrees here. Whoa. And I'm sure as hell not going to a public pool.
No.
Even if it's open.
I've never wanted a pool back again. We used to have a pool, but it fell apart. And now like I want a pool. I want a pool really bad.
Well, this is like just a dinky little inflatable thing, but it's a nice size. It was only $8. Okay. Like, yeah, why not?
Oh, with the quarantine going on, maybe I'll just hand dig a pool out in the front yard. What else do I got going on? I'll just get a shovel. Hand dig a pool in the front yard like a crazy person out there at 2 o'clock
like
in the morning.
One of those primitive YouTube channels where you're like pouring your own concrete. This giant ditch you dug and stuff.
Playing with snakes. I love those videos. I watch quite a few of those like primitive pool making videos. A lot of pools. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
find
know
those
why.
Pools and be very confused when they
people make this concrete water slide that I'm sure is great fun to slide down.
Yep. And that'll do it. That's episode 199 of Baghdad.
Big 200 next week. Oh boy.
Maybe it'll be 99.5. Depending on if Optics is here, I would feel terrible cutting him out of the episode 200. So we might be ending up in the digits, the dot, 0.00, 0.00, 0.00, 0.00, So we'll see. We're doing stuff, folks. The world's in a weird place. We're all living. I want to wish you and all yours the best time available to you. Be safe. Wash those hands. It's been episode 199 of Rums from Baghdad. You can find us on Twitch every single Sunday. It kind of 4 p.m. Eastern. You can also find us on Twitter at RumsBag. Our website is rumsfrombaghdad.com. You can also find anime. Is it .moa? I assume that address still works. I could check out that hyperlink at some point. Just click it and go like, redirect to our website. That's it. That for me. YouTube. We have a YouTube as well. I'm on Twitter at Thouden. Mary's on Twitter. Somewhere.
I mean, technically, not that I ever post anything anymore, but sometimes I'll load it up and look at it if I'm like feeling curious and sure. I don't know, barely
I post pictures of flowers from my garden every once in a while. Bring a little smile to people's face.
That sounds nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Check out my flower pictures. They're coming in very nice. I got a few today. My grapevine's coming in. I'm feeling good. I was outside, did a little manuring. We're doing well.
I think we're going to build a raised garden plot in our backyard during this too. So
I would separate them, personal, professional.
They're going to be like four by four boxes. Right. Yeah.
Excellent. Do that. It's very fun. Play around. Throw some seeds in the ground. I got some peanuts. You want some peanuts? I'll send you some peanut seeds.
Okay. We already got basil going. Texas is good for growing peanuts too. So. The town I used to live in, its main export was peanuts.
Okay. I might send you some peanuts. What else was there? I was going to say, the one thing I can't find at a grocery store. I found everything else. We're good on like all things up here. Peanut oil. Like the one thing that's sold out every time I go to the grocery store, peanut oil. Don't know why. Everything else is in stock. Never had run into any problems now. Like, we're not in that same, like, rush of, like, oh, God. We even have toilet paper. We have rolls and rolls of toilet paper. But I can't get a goddamn thing of peanut oil in this city to save my life. I swear to God. All right. Thank you, everybody. That's episode 199 of Rums from Baghdad. Enjoy your own peanut oil. And we'll catch you next time.
Make some broccoli salad. Why don't you? It's good. It's a good time.
I'm going to click on one of these. Okay. Bye, everybody.